Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD iHeart or wherever you downloaded us from. Thank you for doing that. This is 1189B. The B's are always great guests. And we have one for you today who's written a relatively sensational book. Today will promise to be outstanding as well. Chris Anderson, the curator of the TED Talks, is our guest today. He launched in 1985 Future Publishing, which was a hobbyist in various, I think, 100 different hobbies. He started more than 130 magazines, 1,500 employees, and in 2001, he took over what is undoubtedly the best educational video set that has ever been made and continues to be made, what is known as the TED Talks. His TED mantra, "Ideas Worth Spreading," continues to blossom and is widely known. This book that he wrote is called Infectious Generosity and is by far one of the most thought-provoking books you can have because it starts with what I would consider a warning to all of us, which is that we're in the point of, I guess it would be called micronized or monetized anger, meaning anger that is spreading and dividing all of us. And if we don't change course soon, the disease will be terminal. First, before I forget it, say that we are brought to you by Life's First Naturals. Go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com, to find their randomized double-blind controlled studies that show why both Truebiotics and bovine colostrum might be appropriate and good for you. Do discuss them with your practitioner, as well as brought to you by longevityplaybook.com. You can sign up for their free newsletter once a week, which gives the latest in longevity information summarized in 250 words so you can learn what it means to you. Chris, I want to thank you for writing it. And one of the things that I want to come to is, why do you think we got to this state of, if you will, divisiveness? I know you have put a warning out about social media. So tell us how you think that's contributing to it.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I think it wasn't an evil plot by anyone. I don't think there was a bunch of people scheming in big tech companies to say, how can we make a ton of money and take the world down with us? I think what happened here is that we have created super powerful artificial intelligence technologies called algorithms that look at human preferences. And the goal of these companies was to maximize attention. They thought that by just looking at what people liked and clicked on and reacted to, that things would work out well because people are in control of their choices, people are good. We should just use this process to unearth the great stuff on the internet. And I think what they forgot is that that is not how human nature works, that we're actually there's more than one person in me and in you. And the simplest way to think about it is that we have an addictive self and a reflective self. It's our addictive self or our instinctive self, let's say, that is in charge most of the time. That is in charge when we're doom scrolling, it's when we're hitting like and so forth. And that side of us, however, responds to anger. It responds to fear. It responds to threats. It responds to the most intense human emotions, which means that these algorithms have rewarded people who deal in those currencies. And it's created a false picture of humanity. I'm going to say that. It's created a sense of us that that is all we care about. And those voices are getting louder and louder, and it gets scary. We look at people, we are being taught to look at people we disagree with and think, not just I disagree with you, but you are disgusting. You are evil. I can't associate with you. I can't associate with anyone who's ever been to Thanksgiving dinner with you. It's getting that bad. And in that world, we can't solve anything. We can't solve the big problems that are facing us.
So one of the thoughts you have, this, quote, infectious generosity can help a great deal. And let me comment, if I can, editorially, and then get your thoughts on one of the thoughts. One of the things I've noticed, I have 7 Nobel Prize winners as patients, and no matter how competitive they were in science, once they won a prize that was at the pinnacle, if you will, they became gracious and more than willing to help others. And there's a graciousness of when people hit the successful point. I hear what you're saying about the social media leads with blood. That is, we're interested in that self that is non-reflective, that is reactive. And do you think that when people are successful as yourself, that you become, or that we become, more gracious or more generous?
Well, it's an interesting question. It's possible in a field where there is a prize that really clearly defines success, that that could happen. And it's lovely that that happened in your case. I worry that in many people's cases that enough is never enough, you know, that you get successful, but then you crave the next thing. A lot of the most competitive and aggressive people are people who are already very successful. I think wherever we are, we probably could benefit from just taking some reflective time and saying, who do I want to be? What do I want to be remembered for? What am I grateful for? Our reflective selves are the selves that on our deathbeds are going to tell us whether we've lived a life that we're proud of. We can actually harness them right now to nudge the way that we are. And I think the beautiful thing is that when that happens in this connected age, there are ripple effects from it, because we may end up deliberately or inadvertently inspiring other people to do something. And there are so many ways that can happen in this connected age. And there are so many wonderful examples of people doing just that. And it's just, they're often not amplified. They're slightly under the radar. But when you see what's going on, it does give you a bit of hope that we can turn this around.
I want to get to the stories we tell, because I think you've made a, at least convincing to me as I read the chapter and the book, that the stories we tell have a great deal of influence. And I want to go there, and then I want to go, the other thing is how to start the conversation around the dinner table. So, or around the guest dinner table, or around the cocktail party, or wherever you want to call a gathering of a group of people, or even at halftime at basketball games, if you're with a group of people or whatever. But first, talk about the stories we tell.
Right. So for reasons that we've already talked about, to some extent, that we tend to lean into stories that are about darker emotions. It's an unfortunate part of our human psychology to do that. There are probably strong evolutionary reasons why that's so. But it means that when you just leave it up to algorithms to decide then who gets the follows, who gets the influence, who gets amplified, it can easily go to the people who are peddling the dark stuff. So those stories become dangerous. And if we focus on them, we literally end up with a false impression of the world, because there are other stories out there of amazing human kindness of all kinds. It's not just like giving money. It's people just doing something kind for someone else, maybe sharing a contact or buying a cup of coffee, or even just looking someone in the eye and saying, how are you? How's your day? Anything I can help with? This sort of generous mindset is, we're all capable of it, but it can easily get pulled away from us. And I think the interesting question is, how do we encourage each other to make that bit more central? Because when someone sees that, there are ripple effects. We're connected. Someone takes a video and it's shared and goes viral. There are all manner of ways in which we can take on and combat the sense that we have of the world just getting more threatening.
And that's really using social media to pass the good along, if you will.
Yeah. Even if you don't yourself feel in the mood to go out and be kind to someone, just noticing something online that counts as some form of kindness or whatever, and liking it and amplifying it or engaging with it, that will help train the algorithms to think differently about who humans collectively are. We all have a part to play there.
Now, one of the things I tried after starting the book was the idea of easy ways to extend hospitality. And I had, in a number of the effort, going around the table and making everyone at a dinner table say something they were proud of that day or that they had done to better humanity that day. And in fact, the question we often ask at our family dinner table when the kids were growing up is, what have you done to improve the lives of others today? But one of the things that scared me when I tried it as a sample, because I was trying all of your choices, and there were some wonderful choices in the book. The book called Infectious Generosity, The Ultimate Idea Worth Spreading by Chris Anderson. It is a wonderfully written book as well. So thank you for doing it. But when I asked, what is something you're worried about right now? It actually got scary. Have you tried that and gotten positive? In other words, we went into dark places as opposed to what have you done to better the world in the last month, which always ends up with positive places.
I mean, look, there are many things that can work in different circumstances. The main thing about hospitality is that it's a beautiful and ancient human tradition of generosity. Just sharing food together is good and it bonds people together. What I've suggested is that different kinds of single conversation dinners where everyone's hearing each other can sometimes pull people together in a beautiful way and can lead to beautiful things happening. So, yeah, I think if you spent the whole dinner saying, what are you most worried about? People would quickly talk politics, and politics is a soul killer and it would bring people down. I think it's more there. You want to lean it towards what are you worried about in your personal life? And depending on how close your friendships are, and vulnerability is a powerful thing. You know, it can pull people together. It can immediately prompt someone else to want to help in some way. I think, so one, make it personal. And two, don't just make it about that. Also, what have you done to boost, maybe what have you seen? What has inspired you in the last couple of weeks? A story that just touched you. Can you share that? That may be a better way to go. Or if you talk about your own stuff, it's talk about it with curiosity and like, this happened to me and I'm happy it happened, but I could have done some things better. And what might that have looked at? And the hope is that I think that in any community, a group of well-meaning people gathering together could ultimately ask the following question. Is there anything we've noticed locally? Anyone we've noticed who could use some help, or anyone who's working on a project locally that is beautiful, but is maybe not properly funded, or a group of people in a single community working together can have a magical effect. If we can figure out how to change our local community, the rest of the world is not going to feel as threatening.
I think that's a beautiful thought. We're lucky in Cleveland to have a magnificent food bank that almost always needs volunteers, and a lot of us go there to help, and they have it's organized in such a way, I've got to tell you, it's one of the things you can be proud of in Cleveland, because it's organized to have all the resources under one site, not just food, but anything, housing, legal aid, etc. So they've organized it magnificently. And that's one of the things you come up with and you state in a major way. And I want to emphasize, being generous isn't just about being generous with money. That time and effort. And at the end of the book, there's a last chapter which says, over to you, invitation to an annual checkup. Talk to us a little bit. Almost give me a summary for what I didn't read yet.
One of the ways that links different types of generosity is this. It's that I think the question anyone can ask is, am I a net giver or a net taker? To the extent that most people in the world are net givers, things are going to be okay. It's as simple as that, you know. And so the checkup I'm talking about is, there's no formula on how to calculate whether you're a net giver, but there are six or seven things you can think about that can get you there. Possibly the most important is the work I'm doing. Am I working for an organization or a company where the work is contributing to the public good in some way? Or am I working for a company that's actually exploiting the world. If the latter, I mean, you may need the money, so you may not be able to leave, but you may be able to change. Like, I am convinced that modern companies are very, very prone to the views of their employees, that they're dependent on the views of their people. And if a group of employees decides there's something better we could do and they brainstorm how a company could be better, that will make a huge difference. So there's that. There's, yes, looking at what you're doing with your money, looking, if you're worried about climate, as many people are and should be, being sure that your carbon footprint, that you're offsetting it, or ideally double offsetting it, because offsets are complicated and not reliable. But if you, and there are places online where you can see how to do that. Your time. Are you, some people don't have money, but they could volunteer a couple of hours a week. If you're volunteering like 10% of the kind of free time that you have, that's a huge act of generosity. And in general, the thing about generosity that's so beautiful is that it's not symmetric, that the loss that you have when you give something away can often be far tinier than the benefit that you give. And so it's worth saying, what could I give away that would actually be quite easy for me to give away, but that might make a difference? So you might have some knowledge that you could share with people, perhaps on YouTube or whatever. Or you might have contacts that would be invaluable to someone else you know. It's quite easy to write a single email for you, and it could change someone's life. And so it's just going through the different ways to be generous and seeing, is there something more I could do? And if you've got green check boxes by some of these questions, then you're a net giver. You should be happy, proud of it. You are really, really doing something important for the world. Any mother, by the way, or single parent who's looking after a kid, that is a huge act of generosity right there. All these things kind of, I think, add up. And it's just, all I'm urging is that it's worth paying attention to and to see if you, with a clean conscience, can say, I think I actually am, on balance, a net giver.
Excellent. So, and let me go in one of the stories you have that I wanted to have the finish of, and I almost went to their website but didn't have time, was you talk about the shipping company Maersk, who has decided to try and balance their carbon footprint by having much more, I would call it, energy efficient ships. They're the huge container ship company. We've heard about that the Red Sea was attacked. So tell us what they're doing.
So often our picture of companies is very negative. Like, we assume that, you know, they're all there to make money. They're basically exploiting the earth. And a lot of people, especially in the generation coming through, feel, with some justification, really, really angry at companies and maybe at capitalism in general. I've had the chance, because of my position at TED, to meet a lot of influential people in a lot of companies. And there are definitely some unpleasant people out there. But I'm amazed how many people are really fighting hard to do the right thing and to figure out how to be generous to the future, if you like. And so Jim Snabe, you can actually, he's got a TED Talk, and you can hear this in his own words. His second name is Snabe. He was the chairman of Maersk. And, you know, they were going through what seemed like an impossible project to decarbonize these giant bunker oil burning tankers that are so polluting. And people were telling him, it's just too expensive to change this. We just don't see how we can do it. And he said, we're asking the wrong question. We are going to do it. That is the commitment. That is not in doubt. We are going to commit to doing this. Now we're going to figure out what it will take. Because they didn't have answers, they invested money in a research effort that brought in competitors as well. And they're willing to do it, even if it means spending more on fuel, for example, to get green ethanol fuel, whatever it takes, they will do. And I think that attitude, that's a really important form of generosity. And it is spreading. I'm convinced it is spreading in business right now, because once people believe that this is what their employees will demand, this is what governments will demand, this is what investors will ultimately demand, this is what customers ultimately will demand, that we're talking our way slowly forward into a better future. And when you see someone inspiring like Jim Snabe, it really gives you hope.
Well, the book gives us hope. The book is called Infectious Generosity, The Ultimate Idea Worth Spreading, by Chris Anderson, who we've been talking with. He's the head of TED. And a great phrase, actually, the head of TED, Infectious Generosity, is the book. Thank you for writing it. It is an inspiring book. We, of course, are brought to you, this is 1189B and all, both the A's and B's of our podcast are brought to you by Life's First Naturals, lifesfirstnaturals.com, the makers of both TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Go to their website, see the randomized controlled trials that show you why, in fact, I take them both daily. The other place to go is longevityplaybook.com. Sign up for the free newsletter. I guess it's generous that it is information shared for free. But most importantly, it has a little cartoon in there to have you have a happy day that points out. So today's was on B12 and how if you're old, maybe you take twice as many vitamins to keep up with your grandkids as they take. Actually, that's not a bad thing for the amount of supplements you should take versus they that have been randomly shown to be beneficial to you. Again, the book 1189B is Infectious Generosity, the ultimate idea worth spreading. And it really is. Start by having that hospitality conversation that Chris Anderson points out in the book. Thanks again. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too.